Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom to everybody. Let me adjust myself here. I've been working on this precept this morning, so hopefully you can hear me better in the room. Tell Sister Denise to come back, my sister.
Okay, I will. There she is.
All right, amen. Okay, and I apologize. I'm having a problem with one of my keyboards, so I actually had to plug in a keyboard. I usually use a wireless or a USB keyboard, a wireless or a Bluetooth keyboard, and it's been giving me some problems, the space bar not working, so I plugged in another one, but I had to unplug my speaker to do that. So I forgot, you know, that I had done that, and so you guys couldn't hear me in the room. All right. Good morning and happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath, family. We are continuing in this armor of Elohim. And, you know, something dawned on me this morning when I was laying in the bed, thinking about, you know, and going before the Most High, asking him, you know, what is it that I should, you know, should I move a different direction this morning or should I continue in this armor? And he just gave me, you know, continue in the armor. And so we are going to be doing the Gospel of Peace on this morning. And for those of you who are in the room, if you will mute your mics for right now, because I'm getting the background noise from your moving around and stuff like that. So we want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Far East, the Middle East, the communist countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. As we finished up on last night and the Most High, you know, was showing me that the shield of the breastplate of righteousness is the keeping of his laws. It's the actual keeping of his laws that protect us. And so in looking at this, it says putting on the whole armor of Elohim, of God himself. This is his armor that we're putting on. It's not, you know, anything that is man-made. So it is all going to be designed to help us walk in his ways, to protect us from the enemy. And that's going to always have to do with being, even in this gospel of peace. I think the way that the Most High gave this to me, we'll see how this works out. But the gospel of peace is to bring us back at peace with the Most High. It's not really about, you know, it is also about being at peace with our brothers and our sisters, but it's really about being at peace with the Most High. And that is the gospel of peace. And so we're going to look at this thing on this morning because we definitely want to be at peace with the Most High. We don't want to be contrary to him or have him to be contrary to us. So as we walk through this thing, there's so much here that I didn't actually get a chance to include it, and I'll have to continue to work on this particular precept the way he has it in my heart and in my mind. But I wanted to break it up into sections. You know, asking the logical questions and what, you know, what is being ordained by the Most High and what he actually wants to be known. So I'm gonna do, without going into a whole lot of depth, because this goes off can go off into a lot of depth when we're looking at certain things, but, you know, when we understand the crux of the matter, when we understand what really actually matters, then today I don't really have to go off in depth. If you heard the precept from last night and we understand what righteousness is, righteousness is being lawful. It's obeying his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments. That's what being righteous is. That's what doing right is. Then we're going to have to understand that when we aren't doing those things, then we are being unrighteous, but we're also we're making Elohim our enemy. And so then we're not, if we are his enemy, then we are not what? At peace with him. And so this is what this gospel is all about. Okay, so we're going to get into that this morning. So let us do the necessary, and let us do our statement of faith on this morning. And we'll say shalom to, as I said, to everyone, and happy Sabbath. Our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us all turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. We just glorify you, Yah, and we lift you up. We magnify your name, Father. We glorify you, Yah. We extol thee. We extol thee, O Yah. We extol thee. From glory to glory, you are Elohim. From glory to glory, you are majesty. From glory to glory, you are all power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Elohim. Hallelujah to you, O Yah. Hallelujah. I just love you on this morning, Father. I love you. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. You are my Elohim, and another will I not serve. Hallelujah. When, let us go to Holy Hands Raised High. I'm going to Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that you have ordained that we should keep. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent of our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And this will be our testimony, that we will not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, but that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And our reading for today, we're gonna read some of this, but not all of it. Let us get 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive, unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. Thank you.
Transgressions, my sins are laid before me. Cast me not away from your presence. Don't take your spirit away from me. Please show me the way.
I don't belong to any religion. No, I don't do anything bigger than me. No, I don't conform to the norms of the world. So many demons walking to and fro on the earth. I came out of here to be separate. I am no longer lost and desperate. I have consent to the commandments, cause it's all they never done with. I don't just say I believe in him, I try to do what he say do. He's coming back again for his lost sheep of Israel. Count me in. One third, one third, one third. Count me in. One third, one third, one third. Count me in. One third, one third, one third. Count me in. One third, one third, one third. It's so sad the third won't make it. That she would die spilling blood and he made a way. He is a provider, glorified and filled with love. There is no other, he's the greatest one of us. Do what he did, least we can do. No more lip service, we gotta see it through. First step, start with you, and forget everything you knew. You don't wanna be left behind, caught up in the maze, walking blind. I wanna be in that number. Count me in. One third, count me in. One third, one third. Count me in. One third, one third, one third. Count me in. One third, one third, one third. Count me in. One third, count me in. One third, count me in. Count me in. One third, one third, one third. Count me in. One third, count me in.
Going to be talking about today, the gospel of shalom, the gospel of peace on this morning. So let me do a quick sound check in the room. Are you able to hear me okay? And then Sister Lorraine online, are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, amen.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, amen. Thank you. All right, let's jump into this precept. We are still talking about the armor of the Most High, the armor of God. And we've talked about having our loins girded with the truth. And we learned that the truth is the word of the Most High. That is truth, what he says. And then we learned that we are supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we learned that being right, that word righteousness or right, actually translates to lawfulness, being lawful. And so the breastplate of righteousness is actually made up of the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the ordinances, and the judgments of the Most High. And that is what we put on to protect our vital organs, to keep us from dying, from being hit and dying from some fiery dart from the enemy, okay? And we're told to go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to get verse 15. We're told, and your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we want to talk about this gospel of peace because this is what we are supposed to be putting on our feet. Okay? The preparation of the gospel of peace. And in the scriptures, that word peace in the Hebrew is shalom, from the Strong's H7999. And it means to be safe, figuratively well, happy, friendly, also abstractly welfare, in essence health, prosperity, peace, familiar, fair, favor, friend, great, good health, perfect, such as to be at peace or to be peaceably, prosper or prosperity or prosperous, to be at rest, to feel safe or have safety, to salute somebody when you're not, you know, you're not coming against them, you're saluting them in what? Peace, welfare. So all of these are different meanings for this word. But when I was, you know, meditating on this and asking the Most High, okay, just like I had to ask him, what is this breastplate of righteousness made out of? It's a breastplate, and it's righteousness, and it's made to protect you. Then what actually is the gospel of peace? Because this is what we're supposed to be taking to the world. You go places with your feet. Okay, and you're supposed to gospel of peace to the world. This is what he told us, go ye into all nations. So I had to ask him, really, what is this gospel of peace that we're supposed to be taking to the world? And the gospel of peace is about being in right relationship with Yah, being obedient to Yah. That is what this whole thing is about. That's it in a nutshell. And so we got to look at how did we get out of relationship, the right relationship with the Most High? How did we become his enemies? That is the problem. And that is what the good news is all about, that we can be at peace and right relationship with him again. So we need to find out how we do that, okay? But we're going to first look at what the issue is. Let's go to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms 34 and verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Now, last night as we were looking at righteousness and the breastplate of righteousness, it's, again, it's all about keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. That's to do good. To do evil is to not do that. So depart from not keeping my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my judgments, my ordinances, and do them. That's to do good. To do that, you're seeking peace. But peace with who? You got to ask yourself the question. Who are you seeking peace with? And pursue it. This is what all mankind has to understand. We are at war, but who are you at war with? And who are you at peace with? And who are you seeking peace with? And who are you seeking to make war against? Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, because, you know, I do this because a lot of times if I stay in Torah too long, if I stay in the Old Testament too long, I have some people say, hey, you just speak Torah too much. I'm like, without the Torah, you have no foundation. Without the Old Testament, you have no foundation, and everything in the New is based upon the Old. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, get verse 11. Says exactly the same thing. Let him eschew evil. Get away from evil. Stop not keeping the statutes, laws, commandments, the ordinances, and the judgments of the Most High, and do good. Do them. Let him seek peace. and ensue it, pursue it. So the Most High told us that in the Old Testament. He's telling us again in the New Testament. Seek peace and pursue it. But who are you seeking peace with? Because this is the gospel of peace. But does that mean, you know, just being kind and considerate to others? Does it mean, you know, taking care of the homeless, the widow, and the fatherless? Who were we not at peace with? So let's look at the problem so that we understand what this gospel of peace is all about. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Now let's get verse 21. Like I said, there's a lot that I could go into with this, but we just want to do the overview so that we understand this gospel of peace. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Remember that this battle is where? In the mind. This is what we learned, that we're putting on this armor of the Most High, the armor of Elohim, the armor of God. Because the battle is in our mind. We got to always remember that. So they became vain in their imaginations. Their imaginations are where? In their mind. Our imaginations are in our mind. And this is always where the battle takes place. So the battle is, do we keep the statutes, law, commandments, the ordinances, and the judgments of the Most High and be righteous? Or do we not keep them? Do we imagine that we can do whatever we want to do? That's where the battle is. And he says, and their foolish hearts became darkened. We think we have light, but we have no light. Our understanding is dark. If we don't keep his statutes, laws, commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just a quick review so that we understand that we're always dealing with the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Mashiach, of Christ, to the obedience of the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. Want to be saved? Want to be at peace with him? You got to bring every thought into captivity. You got to get away from the imaginations of your own heart and your own mind. This is the battlefield. And when we get our mind right, then we're able to serve him right. So we're going to find out that this is really all about obedience, this gospel of peace, and what the problem is. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. Because what I want to show us is that this has always been the problem from the very beginning. Okay? And so we got to understand what we're up against so that when we put on this armor, we know how to use it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yah Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has Elohim said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For Elohim does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as Elohim, as gods, knowing good and evil. Knowing something, you know it where? In your mind. So Satan is trying to get in Eve's mind, and he has gotten into her mind. And he's feeding her through her spiritual eyes. Your spiritual eyes are your ears, is what you hear. So she's listening to him. Now, put your finger there. If you were looking, I have this broken up so that we can understand. We're going to be going to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, and we're going to be flipping back and forth between 1 John chapter 2. In verse 16 and Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to show you how this works. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, comma, stop right there. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. All that is in the world. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. When the woman saw the tree that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. So all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what Eve experienced, and this is what Satan harped on. This is what he attacked her with. And the one law that she had, she didn't obey it. She didn't stay behind that breastplate of righteousness. All she had to do was obey the commandment. But she put the breastplate down. She took up the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. They both became what? Disobedient. They both disobeyed the commandment. They both disobeyed the law. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 reads, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And this is where Adam and Eve went into. They allowed the devil to drag them into the world, into the ways of the world. And they became disobedient, trying to do the things that are of the world. So Eve wanted, she saw the fruit, it looked good to her, something to nourish her body, it was good for food, it looked good to her eyes, and she thought it would make her wise. She was carnal, in other words. She was not spiritual. And we're going to find out it's being spiritual that the Most High wants us to be at. That's where he wants us at. He don't want us being governed by this flesh. And the eyes, verse 7, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They knew, meaning that they had understanding in their minds. Before, they didn't know, understand that they were naked. They were just naked. But now they knew, and they had understanding in their minds. And this is where the enemy always attacks. Let me see if I can get you to be disobedient. And he uses the lust of the flesh, The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's what he attacks you with. And if that's what you're about, if that's what you let drive you, then you are carnal. Your nature is carnal. If those are your motivations, then the scripture says that you are carnal. And if you are carnal, then you are not at peace with the Most High. We're going to look at this. Go to Hosea, chapter 10, let's get verse 13. Because we want to see what Adam and Eve, what they ate. Okay? We hear that they took of the tree and they ate. That's physically. And this is, they physically did this. This wasn't something that just happened in their minds. They actually really did take up a tree. But they also ate from another tree at the same time, in the spiritual tree. When Eve listened to Satan and when Adam listened to Eve. Hosea chapter 10, verse 13. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Satan presented a lie to Eve, and she ate it. Adam hearkened unto the voice of his wife. Now, Adam knew, because the scripture says that Adam was not deceived. So he either chose to believe her and sided with her, or he didn't believe her and still sided with her. He ate. Either way it goes, he ate. And they both became disobedient to the Most High. Now they're at war with him. They're not at peace with him. And the Most High comes through. I didn't put it in. I did. I took it out. But the Most High comes through and he pronounces judgment on all of them for their disobedience. Okay? He judges. He invokes his righteousness. We learned last night that being just is to obey the statutes, laws, commandments, the ordinance, and the judgments of the Most High. He comes in and he judges the woman. He judges the serpent. He judges Adam against his own laws, against his own righteousness, his own commandments. I gave you a commandment, and you didn't keep it. And because you didn't keep it, then these things are going to happen to you. And you can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and read it for yourself. I didn't put it in here because I knew I'd get caught up in it. What does Yah want from mankind? Because we're looking at this gospel of peace. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Now, we read this, and I didn't read it this morning because I knew we would be reading it now. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. The book of Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. That's a commandment. Don't put nobody else before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. When we disobey him, he says that we hate him. And in hating him, we become an enemy. We are not at peace with him. This is the way the Most High looks at it. We're not at peace with him when we disobey him. And he says that we hate him. That's strong words. When we are disobedient to Yah, he says we hate him. We are at war, not at peace with him. And we got to understand this because the gospel of peace, we are supposed to be reconciling mankind back to the Most High. The problem is that we are at war, and when I'm saying we are, I'm saying that if we have not reconciled with him, then we are at war with him. Everybody who is actively in sin, unrepentant, not doing the statutes, laws, commandments, the orders and the judgments of the Most High, not being righteous, because those are the things that make us right. When we disobey his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments, that makes us unright. Being unright is being unrighteous. The act of being right. That's what righteousness is. The act of being right. So when we are unrighteous, we are in disobedience. We are in transgression of his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. We have to understand that. We are not at peace with him then when we are in that state. We are at war with him. We are his enemy. And see, I don't think a lot of people understand that, that it's that serious. You're not just being a disobedient child. You have made yourself his enemy. And when you're somebody's enemy, you're not at peace with them. You may not be actively fighting, but you are at war. And sooner or later, one is going to attack. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now these verses, we, you know, the Most High, I guess, has me doing something, you know, it's always a purpose. And I don't always know what it is, you know, but when we're looking at things, it always brings you back to the same things. He has mercy on them that love him and keep his commandments. You are at peace with him. If he's having mercy on you, then you are at peace with him. Because if he's not having mercy on you, then he's pronouncing judgment, and his judgment is as you were an enemy. You are at war with him, and he's not going to have mercy on his enemies. So this gospel of peace, it's to bring everybody back into right relationship with the Most High, back into righteousness with the Most High. That is to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgment. That's what Messiah came and died for. Because we were in transgression. We were not in righteousness with the Most High. We were not at peace with him. He was not at peace with us. That's the gospel, that you can get out of that situation. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. The book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Because Messiah says it more than once. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Messiah says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, Teacher, Teacher, and you do not the things which I say? Why are you calling me your Lord and you don't do the things I say? You don't obey my voice. This is all about being disobedient. You say you love me. If you love me, John chapter 14 and verse 15, If you love me, keep my commandments. I have mercy on all them that love me and keep my commandments. I'm at peace with all them that love me by keeping my commandments. And I'll have mercy on you if you don't willfully disobey me. And we'll have peace, you and I, the Most High and his people. So from the beginning, Adam and Eve got out of sorts with the Most High. Adam and Eve became enemies of the Most High, and he kicked them out the garden. Get out of my house. And he didn't kill them because, you know, he'd have to start all over again, and he could do that very easily. He created another Adam and another Eve. But he kicked them out of the house. He kicked them out of the garden. Get out. You are not my friend. You are not my children. You hate me. He don't change. So we got to understand that this is what this is all about. Go to 2 John. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. The first, very first commandment was to obey the commandments. This is the commandment. Obey my laws. Obey my voice. If you will obey my voice, that's a commandment. That is the first commandment. Just as you heard it from the beginning. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, he's letting us know nothing has changed. And for, again, for the church to say that they are not up under the law and read those scriptures, they have no understanding. They don't understand when you are not up under the law. You are not up under the law as long as you obey it. I'm going to read that too. You are at peace with the Most High as long as you are obeying his commandments. The gospel of peace is that the whole world was in transgression. All have sinned and come short of the glory of the Most High. Since all have sinned, all became his enemy. We're not at peace with him. I pray we can get this and understand it. Because the peace, the gospel of the peace, the gospel of peace is to bring people back into a right relationship with the Most High. Obey his voice. You want to be at peace with him? Obey him. Keep his commandments. That's the gospel of peace. Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. We're going to get verses 7 and 8. And we sort of read, like I said, we read these scriptures for about a whole year. It was one of our theme verses for that year. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity, is hatred against Elohim. You don't hate somebody you love. But your carnal mind, if you are about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, then your mind is against Elohim. You are his enemy. You are not at peace with him. For it is not subject to the laws of Elohim. It is not subject to being righteous. The carnal mind is unrighteous. It is not subject to the laws of Elohim, neither indeed can be. It's impossible. If you are about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, being carnal, it is impossible for you to be to keep the laws of the Most High, which means that's impossible for you to be righteous. It's impossible for you to put on the breastplate of righteousness. It is impossible. Because it says you're not subject to the laws of Elohim. You won't even bring yourself into subjection to the laws of Elohim. You're going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what the flesh wants to do. So it says, neither indeed can it be. The carnal mind cannot be in subjection, in submission to the laws of Elohim, cannot be in submission to the righteousness of Elohim. And being right with him is being obedient to him. Now, being disobedient. The carnal mind is at war, not at peace with the Most High. So then they that are in the flesh, we are all in the flesh. We have to transition from being carnal to being spiritual, cannot please Elohim. We have to understand this. If you cannot keep the law of Yah, then you are his enemy and at war with him and not at peace with him, with Yah. It is just that simple. That is the problem. Okay, so he spells it out for us in the scriptures. But to put it in our language and to make it plain and simple, if we disobey him, we are his enemy. We are at war with him, and we're not at peace with him. So when we come back into right relationship with him, then we can spread the gospel of peace, because this is how you come back into right relationship with him. Okay, and so when we look at the following scriptures, and these are not all the scriptures, so don't take this as being the end-all and be-all. I just took a couple because, as I said, we will be here all day long. But this is just so we understand that this gospel of peace. Got to understand the problem first. Who are you at? Who are you trying to be at peace with? It is the Most High himself. Okay. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. About being disobedient, like Adam and Eve. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of Yah, but rebel against the commandments of Yah, the commandment of Yah, then the hand of Yah will be against you and your king. He's talking to Israel there. The whole thing is not obeying the voice of Yah. Just like Adam and Eve didn't obey his voice. It's like he told them in Exodus when he brought them out. I love them that love me. I love them that obey my voice, that keep my commandments. So verse 15 again. If you will not obey the voice of Yah, but rebel against the commandment of Yah, then the hand of Yah will be against you, not for you. You are his enemy then. You're not at peace with him when you disobey his voice. And man was in this condition from the beginning, just consistently always disobeying. And so we got to understand that. Let's drop down to verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is disobedience, is as the sin of divination. Divination, you know, when we are, that's why I said, you got to be very careful what you do as far as numerology goes, as far as astrology goes, as far as astronomy goes, as far as trying to predict what the Most High is going to do. You know, you got people doing voodoo, reading chicken bones and all this kind of stuff. People reading their horoscope, divination, people trying to figure out numbers and saying these numbers mean this and this is what it predicts. It's divination. The form of rebellion. He says rebellion is as the sin of divination. That means that the sin of divination required death. And when we rebel against the Most High, it requires death. It's not a slap on the wrist. It's not a rebuking thing, get in the corner until you can do right. It's not what that it does. It's not what it is. And presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Iniquity is simply to disobey his statutes, laws, and commandments, his judgments. Idolatry is to worship another god. And if you do either one of those, if you are presumptuous, that word presumption means willfully. If you look up the definition of presumption, you will find the definition willfully. So when we read in previous verses and previous lessons that when you sin ignorantly, you can be forgiven. But the soul that presumes or presumptuously, and we learned that word meant willfully. Doing your own will is as iniquity and idolatry. When you don't do what the Most High says, you are presuming to do what you want to do. You are rebelling. So he's talking to Saul here, and he says, because you have rejected the word of Yah, he has also rejected you. When we reject the word of the Most High, he also rejects us. This is just not Saul he's talking to. He's talking to all of us. When we reject what he says and we do what we want to do, oh no, Most High, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be presumptuous and do what I want to do. I'm not going to obey your voice. I'm going to be disobedient. I'm in rebellion. Because, see, we might say, oh, well, you know, I just kind of not just did. I didn't do exactly what he said to do. I chose to do, you know, I thought this was best. He says, then you are in rebellion when you don't do what he says to do. You are unlawful. You have broken my commandment. To break the commandment is to break the law. And to break the law means that you are unlawful. To be unlawful is to be unrighteous. Because to keep the law is to do right. To not keep the law is to be unrighteous. And to be in rebellion. And if we are carnal-minded, then we can't help that. It's our way. Since we are not subject to the laws of Elohim, indeed cannot be. So we have to understand this is the problem. Okay? This is what makes us not at peace with the Most High. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, when it says that when you are in the spirit, you are not up under the law, then when we read this, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, I hope it gives us clarity in regards to that. Understanding this, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just. The just are the people who keep the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the ordinances, and the judgments of the Most High. That's what makes you just. Just and righteous are one and the same. This is what we learned last night. Being just is to obey, to keep his word, to keep his commandments, to keep his laws. The law is not made for those that keep the law, because the law is used to judge you. And as long as you keep it, you don't bring condemnation on yourself. So understand this, the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, the unrighteous. That's why when we are lawless and disobedient, we are unrighteous and we cannot have on the breastplate of righteousness, because the breastplate of righteousness is actually doing right. It's the act of doing it. That's what gives you that breastplate. But when you are lawless and disobedient, you are unrighteous. And the law is made for you to show you where you're at, to show you what you're doing. So understand this. The law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and the sinners. Ungodly are those people who are unrighteous. Sinners are people who transgress the law. It is all about obeying the Most High and his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. The law is made for the unholy and the profane. People who just will not obey, the carnal minded. And don't think that it's for people who, the law is for people who it's for people who kind of just obey. They bring themselves up under the law, because anytime you transgress, whatever you transgress in, I only transgress a little bit. I don't do everything perfectly. You got to get out of that mindset, because when you are in that mindset, you make yourself unrighteous. You make yourself unlawful. You make yourself unjust. You make yourself unrighteous. A little bit of sin leavens the whole lump. So you got to stay away from that, because then you become ungodly and a sinner. You become unholy and profane. That's why you got to want this thing with your whole heart. You got to be all in. And if you're not all in, you might as well be all out. Because he doesn't have to settle for second best. For those who strike fathers and mothers, and for murderers, those are lawless people. Those are lawless children. And the Most High gives his judgment for those that strike their fathers or mothers. They're to be treated like murderers, because those that will strike their mother or their father, they're being what? Disobedient to father and mother, disrespectful to father and mother. And the Most High tells us, there's only two entities in this world you're supposed to fear. The Most High and your parents. And to be disobedient to either is a death sentence in the eyes of the Most High. That's his judgment. So the law is not laid down for the just, those that keep it, but for those that don't keep the law. So when the church says that they don't have to keep the law, by their own declaration, they make themselves lawless. Oh, we don't have to keep those things the Jews kept. Now, the Most High says, my covenant is, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. So how they try to get from under this, I'm just saying this is me. But I'm looking at the traditional church and their teaching that they are just carnal. Declaring themselves to be good, but they are carnal. They're not bringing themselves in subjection to the law of Elohim. They are carnal. They're saying that they belong to him, and they're saying that they obey him, but they don't. Just like Israel didn't, and vastly still does not, having a form of godliness. So the law was made for them, the lawless and the disobedient. Being lawless and disobedient puts you at war with the Most High, puts you against him, and not at peace with him. So this gospel of peace, it's so that we can tell people how to come back into a right relationship with him. Because he's the one that we're not at peace with. Joshua chapter 5. The book of Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to be at verse 6. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 6. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all these nations, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished. Why did they perish? Because they did not obey the voice of Yah. Didn't keep the commandment. Didn't believe him. That disbelief came all the way down to what he said he would do. They didn't believe it. I will deliver this land into your hands. Oh, no, we can't take that land. Unbelief. So they all died. Do you think the Most High is going to kill anybody that is at peace with him? That is in right relationship with him? No. That's what this gospel is all about. Coming back into right relationship with him. Telling people that they need to obey his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. Not just taking out of them what we want and what we agree with and discarding what we don't like and what we don't agree with. Because the Most High didn't ever ask us whether we agreed with his statutes, laws, commandments, and his ordinances and his judgments. He says, you will do them. And if you do them, you will be right. You will be righteous for doing them. But if you don't do them, then you are unrighteous. It's not how well you treat your children or how well you treat your mother and your father, how well you treat your neighbor. Because you can pretty much say, you know, I do these things for these people and be just as disobedient to the Most High. And in the end, that's what's going to matter. That's why he says, don't love father or mother, sister or brother, nobody more than you love me. Even your own self. So these people walked 40 years in the wilderness and they all died because they disobeyed the voice. That means that they were disobedient. All that Yah has said, we will do. And they didn't do it. And Yah swore to them that he would not let them see the land that Yah had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are my enemy. I'm not taking you into my promised land. I'm not taking you into the land flowing with milk and honey. I'm not bringing you into my kingdom. I'm not letting you come into paradise. Why would I let the enemy into my home? Why would I tell my enemy, hey, just come on in. Make yourself at home in my kingdom. Oh, I know that you're going to be trying to subvert me. I know that you're going to be trying to undermine me. I know you're going to be trying to attack when you don't think I'm seeing. I know you're going to be telling people lies and trying to get them to turn against me. He's not going to do that. So he's saying, hey, I allowed that to happen before because I want those who want me. But when I come back to clean up this earth, I'm kicking all that stuff out. That's what Messiah is going to do. He's going to clean up this earth of all people who are unrighteous. All people who don't keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. We say, oh, we're justified in Christ. We're justified in Mashiach. You're justified in Mashiach if you obey his voice. If you don't obey the commandments, Messiah didn't come and die on the cross for you to stay disobeying the commandments. So we got to understand what's going to bring us back to peace. What is the gospel of peace? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, for the remission of unrighteousness, for the forgiveness of unrighteousness. And you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, get verse 26. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, talking about rebelling against Yah, and cast your law behind their back and killed your prophets who had warned them in order to turn them back to you. That's the gospel of peace. Repent and turn back to the Most High. But the prophets have always been saying. And the Most High says, if you repent and turn back to me, I have a way to get you out of your condition on a permanent basis. And once I get you out of that condition, don't turn back and go back into it. Once I make you righteous, don't turn back and become unrighteous again. Don't take off your breastplate. Don't make yourself my enemy again. Don't treat me like you hate me, because I will hate you. And they committed great blasphemy. This is what the world has done, being disobedient and rebelling. They cast your law behind them. The world started first. The Most High took Israel as a people for himself and inherited to teach them the right way. And they cast his law behind they're back. Our forefathers. It's like having a piece of paper and balling it up. Threw it over their shoulder. Nope, don't want no parts of that. We love you, Most High, but we don't want to do what you say. He said, you are lying, your breath stinks. If you think that you can tell me you love me and then don't obey my words, you are my enemy. We are at war. And when I come to get you, ain't nobody going to be able to save you. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, 136. Psalms 119 and 136. And this is where all true believers ought to feel. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. When you become, quote unquote, saved, anytime you see somebody breaking the law of the Most High, anytime you see somebody not obeying him, doing unrighteousness. Because, see, we think unrighteousness is, well, how do I say this without offending someone? As an example, we think somebody is only unrighteous if they raped a woman or something, or if they were with a child. But unrighteousness is to disobey his voice at any time. You're no more righteous than the person that raped that woman or who tried to be with that child if you're not obeying the commandments of the Most High. It's about obeying him. That's what makes you right or unrighteous. Psalm 78 and 10. They did not keep Elohim's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. We want to be in the new covenant. And the church saying, oh, we're in the new covenant up under Messiah. But we ain't got to keep none of the laws. We ain't up under that law. And if we try to keep that law, we're trying to justify ourselves. Are you stupid? You are carnal. Because all that the Most High has ever wanted for people to do is to keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. And he says, the new covenant, I'm going to write them in your heart. That's where I'm going to put them at. Not for you to refuse to walk in them, because then you break my covenant, even the new one. And the punishment for breaking my new covenant, the punishment is worse than breaking the old covenant. And the church does not take this thing seriously, thinking that they got a cakewalk. I'm walking in the liberty of Messiah. Your liberty in Messiah is you better obey. You're supposed to have the Spirit now. You're supposed to be walking in the Spirit of the Most High. And so you have a choice. Where the carnal man didn't have a choice. He was not subject to the laws of Elohim, and neither indeed could be. But once you are saved and you're filled with the Spirit of the Most High, you're supposed to walk in his Spirit. Now you got a choice. You have to choose to sin. You have to choose to be disobedient. You have to choose to be unrighteous. You have to choose to take off your breastplate. That's a difference. You choose And we're going to read, when you make that choice, what the problem is with that. So who has peace with Yah? Let's move this along. Who has peace with him? Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 65. Who has peace with Yah? Great peace have they which love thy law. You want to have peace with the Most High? Love his law and what? Do it. And nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love his law. If you love his law, you're going to do it. You're going to do it with your whole heart. It's going to be the most valuable thing in your life. You're going to fear transgressing and breaking his law. You're not going to make an excuse. So that's who has peace with Yah. Those that love his law and keep it. Not those that say they love him and disobey him. Not those that say they love him and that he died for their sins and they don't have to keep the law. They are lawless. And the law was made for the lawless. They are the very ones that bring themselves back up under the law, saying that they don't have to keep it. They are not subject to it. They take those one, two verses and say, oh, we're not subject to the law. You are subject to it if you make yourself lawless. You are not at peace with him when you make yourself lawless. So I come, and we're going to look at this. I'm going to briefly go over this because we should all understand salvation from this point. If not, you'll need to attend the newcomers class so you can learn about how to be saved, how to get saved. Okay. Not the place for it. So how do we come to peace with Yah? This is the process that he put into place, and we're going to do the overview of it. John 3:16, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes on the work that Messiah did. You got to first believe in what he did, and you got to understand what he did. He did not come back and die for you to remain lawless. He did not come die and come back and for you to make up your own standard. First John chapter 1, verse 9. This is what the world uses, and we want to put this in context because we're trying to see how do we come back to peace with Yah. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is when we come to him. We believe that he is. We believe that he is the Son of Elohim. We believe that he died for our sins. We believe in what he did. We have to actually know what he did, what his purpose was, the real purpose. I came to bring you out of your unrighteousness. I came to bring you out of your transgression. I came to wipe your record clean of your unrighteousness, of your unlawfulness. So we have to confess that we were unlawful, that we were unrighteous, that we were sinners. He says he is true and just to forgive us sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But from that time forward, we cannot be willfully disobedient. We cannot be willfully unrighteous. We cannot be presumptuous. Can't know something is wrong and then go and be disobedient and do it. Because we make ourselves his enemy again. So let's read Romans chapter 3, verse 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. I'm sorry. 25 and 26. Talking about Messiah. How do we come to peace with Yah? Got to believe on Messiah. Once we believe on Messiah, we confess our sins, that we were sinners. And we have to know what sin is. Sin is the transgression, the breaking of his laws, the being disobedient to his voice. That's what sin is. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a payment, a replacement, through faith in his blood, in Messiah's blood. To declare his righteousness, to declare Messiah's lawfulness. He was without sin. That's what made him right. He did not transgress the law for the remission of sins that are past, not future, past. So you come to recognize that you are a sinner. You are unrighteous in the eyes of the Most High. You are unlawful. You don't keep his laws. You don't keep his statutes. You don't keep his commandments. You don't keep his ordinances. You don't obey his judgments. You are lawless. You recognize that. You confess that you are lawless, a sinner. He says that he is true and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from that, all those that are past. So today you come to him and you recognize who and what you are. Then you're supposed to stop being lawless. You're supposed to die. As we read last night, you're supposed to die to that. That old man is supposed to die. I'm not going to be lawless anymore. I'm not going to be a lawbreaker. I'm going to be a lawkeeper. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not subject to his laws. Then are you not in the Spirit? Because the Spirit will help you keep his laws. So he was remission for the sins that are past. And when you recognize that and when you do that, then God says, okay, I'm going to forbear judgment on you. I'm going to forbear killing you. I'm going to take this death sentence off of you. And as long as you walk before me in righteousness, as long as you obey my voice and keep my laws and don't become lawless, I forgive you. Now, I know that you don't know everything when you first come to me. So if you do something ignorantly, unknowingly, unwillfully, I am true and just to forgive you that sin too. You can bring that to me and confess it. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. I did not forgive Israel of their presumptuous sin. I punished them right away. So if you are going to come into Messiah and you're going to be at peace with me, that's what Messiah came, was to make peace, to show you how to enter back into peace with me. That was the good news. You can be at peace with me and enter into my kingdom. This is the gospel of peace. You can reconcile with me, and we'll be at peace. I believe the scripture goes, to wit, Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, bringing you back into peace with me. Some will forgive all your sins up to this point. From the day you were born to the day you came to me. All of your sins that are past. I'm going to forgive them. Wipe your record clean. I'm going to reconcile you to myself. I'm going to be at peace with you. And you can be at peace with me. This is the gospel of peace. I won't be against you, and you won't be against me. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, the Most High's righteousness. He's got to maintain his word. If he makes a promise, he's going to keep it. He's going to keep his own laws. He's going to be just. That he might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Yeshua. So I'm making a way. You deserve death. But if you believe in Messiah and you obey his voice and you come and you keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, my judgments, and my ordinances, you obey my voice, then I'm going to justify you. You are no longer a lawbreaker. And you are not up under the law because you're not up under the penalty of the law. That's what it means to be up under the law. Because the law doesn't reward you. The law shows you the penalty for breaking it. This is what's right and wrong, and if you break it, this is what happens to you. That's what the law was made for. See who Messiah did this for. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Who is this gospel of peace for? For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. The law teaches you how to what? How to act, how to live. And if you obey it, you have a good life, but you're not going to have the best life that the Most High always intended because everybody's not obeying it. Still got all these things in the world. You're still subjection to your flesh. But the law brings you a shadow of the good things to come, an outline of it, and not the very image of the things. Can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The comers thereunto. The sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats didn't clear their conscience. Because they felt like, hey, if I sin, all I got to do is go get me another bull or another goat. But the Most High says, hey, if you did that thing willfully, you can't bring that bull or that goat. But it didn't clear their conscience. But when we understand what Messiah did, it's supposed to clear our conscience. You mean the Most High made a way for me that I would no longer be a sinner? That he would wipe my record clean, that I could come to him with a clear conscience, knowing that he's not charging me. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. What the church is trying to do is say, hey, Messiah died for me, so no matter if I sin or not, I don't have to be conscious of it. I'm in his righteousness. That's what they're teaching. All I got to do is say I'm sorry. But if you are sinning, you should be conscious of that. You should be in horror of that. But if you are obeying the laws, you ain't got to worry about the laws. You ain't got to worry about the condemnation of the law. You're not up under it because you are obeying it. Your conscience is clean. I have not transgressed against the Most High. Your conscience has been purged of sin. The Most High forgave me for all that stuff I did. He said he would not hold it against me. Now all I got to do is walk and not sin anymore. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. I prepared a body for you to make the ultimate sacrifice. I didn't want those blood of bulls and goats. They are not equal to the man. The man was their master. The man was their lord. The man had dominion over them. He should have been dying for them. Instead, they had to die for him. So I need to make a sacrifice equal to the man. So I prepared a body of a man that I might enter into and remain sinless and come and make this sacrifice that man can't make for himself. That I might be able to clear his conscience if he understands what I'm doing. Clear his conscience that, hey, everything you did, as long as you didn't open your mouth and be bold enough to open your mouth against me, I'll forgive it. I'll forgive you. But if you open your mouth against me, that ain't forgivable in this world or the world to come. Anything else, I can forgive it. I don't care how many people you killed. I can forgive it. I don't care how many men you laid with. I can forgive it. I don't care how many days you didn't feed your children. I can forgive it. I don't care if you slapped your mama or your daddy. I can forgive it. All these things were death sentences. I can forgive them, and I will forgive them because you recognize that you're wrong now, and you're going to turn away from them. You're not going to do them anymore. You can be at peace with me. We won't be enemies. Verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. For your transgressions. For your unrighteousness. Thou hast had no pleasure. When we did a study of the sacrifices in the sacrificial system, there are some sacrifices that the Most High loved. They were a good smell in his nostril. But he's telling you here that the sacrifices and the burnt offerings for sin, for your transgression, he never had pleasure in that. Never wanted that. But he had to make a way for us until he could come. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O Elohim, to obey your voice, to keep your commandments, to be righteous, to be holy. above what he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had his pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. He gave them a law to do these things so that they could make an atonement, so that they could come back into relationship with him if their sins were ignorant. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Elohim. He takes away the first, the sacrificing of the animals, that he may establish the second, the sacrifice of Messiah once and for all, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua once and for all. Now that once and for all is not meaning that he died for your future sins. That means he died one time and for all people. All people can come to him if they will confess their sins and turn away from them throughout all generations. That does not mean that you can sin willfully, and he died for that. So let me say that a better way. Does not mean that you can sin willfully after you know the truth. So let's just get the word on it. Keep reading. Actually, we don't have to read the rest of this. Yeah, let's do it. Let's read it. We'll run a few minutes over, but we're going to finish this on this morning. Verse 11, and every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim. Now, again, the church will take that and say, see, he died for all sin forever. But that's a misunderstanding of this verse. He did die for all sin that you did up until the time that you come to him. And that's forever, for every generation. But it makes a stipulation further down here. So that we can make sure that we don't twist this thing and say, oh, he died for all my sins forever and forever and forever. No matter what I do, I'm at peace with him. If I he knows my heart. No. He died for all everybody's sin forever that's going to ever be born. And then there comes a point where you are accountable for yourself again. I'm gonna wipe your slate clean, and you're gonna be at peace with me. Unless you make yourself my enemy again. So let's keep reading. Verse 12 again. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For the one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Listen to this covenant, church. Listen to this covenant. Camps, listen to this covenant, saints of the Most High. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws in their hearts for them not to do it, for them not to keep them, for them not to be subject to them. No. And in their minds will I write them. Why is he writing his laws? His statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments in your heart, that you might do them, that you might not transgress again. and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. All of your sins and your iniquities that you did up until the point that you came to him. He says, I'm not going to remember those. You came to me, your record is wiped clean. It's as though you had never done them. I'm throwing them into the sea of forgetfulness. I won't remember them anymore. But what you do after that, oh, then that's a whole other story. And see, we want to stay right here in our understanding that, he died for my sins, and I'm at peace with him forever. Let's see what he says about that, so that we walk and can stay at peace with him, so that we keep this breastplate of righteousness on, so that we stay in this truth that is girded about our loins. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You don't have to make an offering for those anymore because I forgot about those. Let's drop down to verse 26. Because if we willfully become disobedient, if we willfully become unlawful, if we willfully become lawless, if we willfully become disobedient, if we willfully become unjust and unrighteous, and see, we will say, oh, we're a just person, we're a righteous person, we're lawful, but if you disobey his statutes, laws, commandments, his judgments, and his ordinances, you are unrighteous, you are unlawful, you are unjust. It's all about obeying his voice. And if we don't obey, then we become unrighteous. Verse 26. If we sin willfully, if we become unrighteous willfully, if we transgress his laws willfully, the laws that he wrote into our hearts, and it wasn't just love your brother as yourself and love the Most High with all your heart. Because if you love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul, then you would keep his laws. He didn't do away with all of his laws. He only modified some. And he says, up under that first covenant, I used animals. And I never wanted animals for your sin. So I'm going to come and I'm going to die one time. You're not going to have to kill no more animals for your sin. But all the rest of my laws, I didn't do away with them. I didn't scratch them. And say, oh, no, this is no, we not longer, you don't have to worry about that. Don't have to do that. He didn't do that. And where we read those scriptures saying, hey, that don't let nobody judge you, you are judged when you are in transgression. As long as you don't transgress, can't nobody judge you. The Most High is not doing away with his feast days. He's not doing away with his Sabbath. He's not doing away with his new moons. Those systems are still in place. He's not doing away with his commandments, his laws. He told us which ones he modified. Hey, you're not gonna have to kill those animals anymore. My people, the one who I chose to be my priesthood, I told you don't go mix with nobody else. Now I'm telling you to go out and mix with them. He modified some things. But he did not delete his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances. He did not do away with them. He said, I'm going to write them in your heart. So that's how I know. Anybody that says that they're not subject to the laws is because that's what they don't want to be subject to them. Then are they carnal? That's the carnal man. Because the whole thing is about being obedient to him. The whole thing is about obeying him. The whole thing is about doing what he wants done. He'll repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done as it is in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. He gives us his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, his judgments, and his ordinance so that we will do right by him. What he says is right, not what we say is right. What he says is right. That is what makes us righteous. And if we don't do what he says, we are unrighteous. If we disobey, we are unrighteous. For if we sin, if we disobey willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You can't bring this and put it up under the blood. That means that you can sin again, and it can be charged to you again, and you can bring yourself back up under the law again, and up under the penalty of the law again. Besides, I ain't paying for that. I wiped your slate clean. You were at peace with Elohim. Now you're my enemy again. Let's see if it says that. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Judgment is a decision made against those that are unlawful. It's the assigning of the penalty for those who are found guilty of being unrighteous. That's what judgment is. A certain looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to resurrect you, good and bad. And I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to throw death, hell, and the grave into the lake of fire. And then I'm going to throw your butt in there too. Because you chose to willfully become disobedient after you have come into the knowledge of the truth. You chose to become my enemy again. You chose not to be at peace with me. So now you're going to receive the judgment that all my enemies get because you don't love me. Because if you love me, you would keep my commandments. You would keep my laws. You would obey my voice. I'm not going to have mercy on you because I have mercy on them that keep, that love me and keep my commandments. I did a work for you. I came and I died for you. And I wipe your slate clean, and I gave you a way to be at peace with me. And you chose, that's what willfully means, you chose to become my enemy again. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Your adversary is your enemy. Anybody that transgresses the laws of the Most High, anybody that breaks his covenant is his enemy. If you are not in covenant relationship with him, you are his enemy. If you enter into a covenant relationship with him and you break it, you become his enemy. So he says, if you willfully do this, you are an adversary. You are an enemy. You are not at peace with me anymore. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sorrow, how much worse punishment, suppose you, do you think, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim and has counted the blood of the covenant, the blood of the agreement? I came. I died for you. I wiped your slate clean. I cleared your conscience so that you can come before me and not worry about that stuff you did in the past. All you got to worry about is walking right before me now. And you treated what I did as something worthless, something of not of any value. Messiah, I just use you like an ATM. Yeah, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because you died for all my sins. No, not if you did it willfully. I didn't die for that. If you knew it was wrong, I didn't die for that. Matter of fact, you are my enemy. You have made yourself my enemy. We were at peace, and you have made yourself my enemy again. So we're supposed to go around telling people to repent. And you can be at peace with the Most High. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them. And he is true and just to forgive you. And he knows you're not perfect. He knows you don't have all knowledge. He knows you were not taught in all the laws. So you're going to transgress some laws that you don't know about. But the day that you learn about them, you repent of that transgression, and you turn away from it, not to do it ever again. Not to say, oh, I'm trying, because the Most High didn't do try. Once you know, you are accountable. And he says, and when you know, there is no more blood for that. You are not at peace with me anymore. Has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Just disrespected the Most High. You wanted to be at peace with me from the very beginning. Man has been at war with me, always disobeying me, always doing what they wanted to do. I came and I made a way for you to come from under that, that you could clear your conscience. You can come with a clean record. And I died for all your sins that are past. So you were supposed to start living a righteous and a holy life from that point forward. And not if you slipped up and failed, if you were doing something ignorantly. You didn't know. You can come and confess that. And I am true and just to forgive you. But if you willfully become disobedient, become lawless, sinful, then there is no more blood for that. And this is what the church and everybody else has to know. This is what the saints have to know. The Most High wants to be at peace with you. But you can't keep attacking him. You can't be disobedient to him because you make yourself his enemy. You put yourself at war with the Most High, and he will be against you and not for you. So this gospel of the peace is that the Most High wants to be at peace with every man, woman, and child. And that peace comes through your obedience to his word. Messiah came into this world that he might reconcile us to himself. That we should have a clear conscience and be able to walk before him sinless. And if we do happen to sin, let it be an ignorant sin, something that we didn't know. Because surely, when we know it, we will repent of it and turn away from it. And he is true and just to forgive us so that we can keep the peace, that we can pursue peace. Seek peace and pursue it. The Most High don't always want to be at war with us because he says, you know what, I'm just going to kill my enemies. I ain't going through this stuff forever. So while you are in the grace period, you needed to come to me, get right with me, and be at peace with me. That is the gospel of the of peace. Be obedient to my word. Obey my voice. In closing, let's go to Hosea chapter 10. The book of Hosea, chapter 10. Let's get verse 12. Take this to heart. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourselves in keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. Righteousness is in doing them. That's what makes you righteous. The act of doing them is righteousness. You doing them makes you righteous. You not doing them makes you unrighteous. Sow to yourselves righteousness. Be obedient. Obey his voice. Reap mercy. When you obey his voice, he will be merciful to you. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek Yah till he come and rain righteousness upon you. He's going to reward you for doing good. He's going to reward you for being righteous. He's going to give you that crown of life and let you enter into the kingdom. In peace with him. But if you are unrighteous, then he's going to rain down unrighteousness on you. He's going to rain down the reward for unrighteousness on you. That's to throw you into the lake of fire. So seek peace and pursue it. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Tell everybody how to get in peace with the Most High. Tell them how to keep peace with the Most High. Tell them that they must keep his laws. Because he said, I will write them in your heart and in your mind. And you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. And if you ignorantly sin against him, learn of his ways so that you don't ignorantly sin against him, so that you learn what's right and what's wrong. And when you learn of his ways, you find out that you're doing something that is wrong, that you didn't know was wrong. Repent of it. Confess it and repent, and he is true and just to forgive you. He wants to stay at peace. But he's not going to stay at peace with anybody that is willfully disobedient. You have made yourself his adversary, his enemy, again. And he says, your iniquity. We have to all be very afraid because he says, your iniquity shall remain upon you because it was willful. So I gave you grace and I allowed you to come one time and give up all that mess. Now I want you to walk right in my ways, always. And as you learn, I want you to do right. I want you to do better. I want you to grow in perfection. As you learn. And anything that you have learned, you need to apply it, and you need to do it with your whole heart. And do not be willfully disobedient. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, Father, we come before you. Father, we don't deserve your goodness and your mercies. Father, we were wretches undone. Our thoughts were to do what we wanted to do, not realizing that they were evil and against you. But Father, you showed us that we were transgressors, that we were disobedient to your word, that we were sinners. And Father, you came and you gave us a reset. You gave us a do-over. All that we had to do was believe in Messiah and repent from our sins and turn from them and obey your voice, not transgress and be disobedient. And you said that we could be at peace with you, that we could know with a surety that what our end is, that it will be in peace with you, that you would not be against us, but that you would be for us. But Father, if we willfully transgress, you said we make ourselves your adversary, your enemy again. And you said that there is no blood for that. Can't put it up under the blood. Father, I know that the people have been mistaught. I know that they did not understand this gospel of peace. And that they could wreck the peace. It is your desire that we should be at peace with you always. But that we are responsible for our own actions, Father. So, Father, right now, even right now, all who are listening to me, all who will listen to this message, whenever they shall listen to it, whenever they come into this truth, that if they find themselves up under false teaching that tells them that they are not subject to your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and your judgments, and your ordinances, that they don't have to keep your laws. If they find themselves up under the teaching that Messiah came and died for their sins forever, and that they have no responsibility, that no matter what they do, you will forgive them, let them understand that you will not forgive willful sin. As they take their salvation and they make themselves your enemy. And if they find themselves in that truth, Father, that they would repent. That they would repent with their whole heart. That they would have godly sorrow, Father. For they know what the judgment is that they deserve. And Father, dispense your mercy yet once again. For all those who have heard this and truly repent. No, we don't deserve it, Father. We don't deserve it. But Father, we beg that you would have mercy on us yet once again, and that we will not transgress again. For we will have the full understanding that when we do, we make ourselves your enemy. And we are not at peace with you, and you are not at peace with us. So all those who truly, 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 truly in their hearts want to be at peace with you, Father, if they find themselves in this condition, Father, please, impute not their transgressions against them. As Messiah said, Father, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Have mercy upon them. And that from that very moment forward, that they will not walk in transgression of your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and your judgments, Father, but that they will keep them with their whole heart. That they will obey your voice. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, I pray this, Father. Hear my voice and my cry. For thus is the problem in your body. All that should hear it and that will obey, Father, have mercy upon them. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm. May he encamp his angels around you. Remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah. Keep his commandments. Be at peace with him. Put on your breastplate of righteousness by doing and keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, and his ordinances. Don't love anybody or anything more than you love him. And understand that he wants your all. You can't give him a piece of you, but he wants your all. Shalom, family. Have and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath on this evening. I'll see what Yah says concerning what the precept will be. Maybe it'll be the next leg in this armor. I think it's the shield of faith. We will see. But I pray that you understand the gospel of peace. And that you desire to have peace with the Most High as he desired to have peace with you. And if you are not at peace with him, if you are walking in disobedience to his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments, that you repent and bring yourself prayerfully back into peace with him. You won't know, and I'm going to be truthful with you, my prayer is that he be merciful. But you won't know until you meet him whether he chooses. Because he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And whom I will harden, I will harden. I pray that he has mercy on each and every one of us. Because we have been taught falsely. And we are still accountable. Serve him with your whole heart until the day that you go to him or he comes to you, whichever comes first. Serve him with your whole heart. And pray that he does not impute your sin against you. Peace and blessings. Shalom.
Valentine's. All I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a butt. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishmaka, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I